Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, March the 11th. 2024. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Morning, everybody.
So, Steve, your home is about 20 miles from here.
About that, yeah.
Not far from where 25 miles. Not far from where 8 Days of Hope is working this week.
In fact,
right?
They're working. I live in Smithville, Mississippi, and they're working a couple of houses in Smithville, Mississippi. Not mine, unfortunately, but they are working some.
Was yours damaged?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Well, do you not qualify?
They can't get to everybody. At this point, we just need some trees removed, and it's a shed out back.
Yeah, not gonna help you with that.
We got you, bro.
These are big, huge oaks.
Oh,
these are like.
All right. Well, never mind.
No, I thought you
we were kidding.
Ed and I can handle a shrub or two.
Yeah, those are all good, but. Put
some pine straw down.
As long as our wives are directing our activity.
That's right. I live in
the area. You know who can help you with that?
Tell me.
J.J. Jasper.
Really?
Yeah. J.J. Jasper.
He used to have a tree service.
He had a tree service for many years, and he would advertise it like this. He would say, Jasper Tree Service, we go out on a limb for you.
There you go.
I'm shocked that JJ would have a joke like that.
Pretty clever, isn't it?
It is.
We'll go out on a limb for you. Anyway, he knows all about that.
Well, I don't want to talk about my house. I do want to talk about Amory, though. What's going on there with 8 Days of Hope?
Yeah.
So our church, First Baptist of Amory, is hosting a lot of these people. There are. I just talked to Steve this morning just to get my numbers straight. And
Steve Tiber. Executive Director of 8 Days of Hope and founder of 8 Days of Hope. And again, to remind people, 8 Days of Hope is they travel around the country helping people in communities that have been affected by natural disasters. Yeah. And in this case, tornadoes.
Yeah, in this case, a tornado. They are planning to have, overall this week, they're going to have about a little less than 1,800 volunteers from around the country. The world, Canada, and other places as well. I met a lady in my church on Sunday morning who was from Covina, California. Now, my grandmother lived in West Covina, California, and I spent summers down there, so I know all about
Covina.
Did
you go up and speak to her?
Yeah, she came up to me, actually. She came up to me because we were singing in the choir. She just wanted to talk.
How did she know you grew up there?
She didn't. She came up to me to talk about the music we had. We have some pretty good music at our church, and I was singing.
Oh, it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, what did she think of the music?
Well, she loved the music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
who wouldn't?
I know, right?
But she was in town.
She was in town with 8 Days of Hope, and a bunch of them are staying at our church, sleeping in sleeping bags on the floor. But on Saturday, my wife and I went around. We went and interviewed Steve Tiber. And then we went to one of the places that they're working and talked to the director, the lead 8 Days of Hope person out there and to the homeowner. And then we went that night to their dinner and their banquet. They have a big, huge, huge tent out there, and they can fit everybody under it. They fed 1,500 people in an hour. They are so organized there.
Yeah.
And so they're doing a lot of stuff there. And if you don't mind, I'd talk to Steve, and he has a little bit of what they're doing and how many people came. I hope I didn't just, like, totally undercut the clip by telling you all this, but let's listen to clip 12.
We have over 500 volunteers from the state of Mississippi here this week, but they're also coming from New York and Rhode Island and California. They're coming from Canada. You know, we had a volunteer the other day say, Steve, I'm coming, but where is Amory, Mississippi? Well, they're going to see Southern hospitality to its fullest. They're going to meet the sweetest people. And to be right here in our home backyard where we train people and our national headquarters is priceless. Today, we're rebuilding homes. We're doing 20 roofs, and families are getting brand new windows installed and flooring being put down. But some of the most simple things, tarping a roof and removing a tree off of a house to be done a year after, I mean, that's not what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, he said that they've been to a lot of tornadoes, and this is very unusual. I don't know that he's ever seen one that has still this much to do after a year. It was a real extensive damage, and a lot of the houses have been rebuilt, and they've torn down a lot of the damaged stuff, but trees are still, like, into yards and houses, and it's hard to get them out. I
mean, is this a matter of insurance not paying, or how does insurance not pay to have a tree removed?
Some people may not have insurance.
Oh,
well, I'm just guessing. Yeah, I don't know if they're allowed to have a mortgage without having insurance, but I don't know. I know that they do homeowners; they don't do rentals.
Yeah.
They're still dealing with that kind of stuff.
Okay,
I was in a house I've told this before, where a tree came through the roof.
Yeah, you have told that.
And I survived it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it was Allison, my wife, and I. We were over at this is 25 years ago. We were over at her parents' house, which is not too far from here. And it was a spring night where tornado warnings were out, you know?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people in the country know about those kinds of nights. Especially if you live in the tornado alley, so to speak. But anyway, it wasn't caused by a tornado at all, but it was caused by high winds.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in a pine tree thicket. And man, we were out standing out front door, Allison and I. We were listening for the storm, I guess you could say. You know how people watch and listen,
right?
Even though there's not anything you can do about it, even if you do see one or hear one.
Right.
You can run about it.
But you think you're doing something important to stand there and look at the sky. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know.
So we're standing there looking at the sky, listening. It was night. And then this crash, kaboom. What had happened, a huge pine tree had fallen and come right through the roof and then through the ceiling into the den. You talk about a surreal moment.
Yeah.
You're going like,
where you guys usually sit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, they were in there. Some of our family, our couple of our kids and maybe all three of them. And my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, they were around in there.
That must have been terrifying. It
didn't hit them. It could have.
You didn't know when you ran into the house.
What had happened? Find. No, I thought it sounded like a bomb went off. You know? Yeah. No, you're right. Didn't know what we'd find.
Yeah.
Just a few steps, but it's like, man, it could have killed somebody easily. Yeah. Had the tree hit them, but anyway, that's one night I'll never forget.
Yeah.
It never.
I've done that, by the way, outside looking at the storm.
Right.
It's pretty awe-inspiring, not in a good way, but it's just that kind of the power of nature. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that we did think we heard the tornado go over us that night.
Yeah.
Not touch down.
I did.
Are you talking about the one that hit Amory,
yeah.
8 Days of Hope?
Yeah.
You heard it?
I don't know about yours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we were huddled down.
How far were you from where it was?
0 feet.
Oh.
I mean, it hit our house. It didn't, it jumped our house. It went right over our house. It hit the trees in front of our house.
So you had 10 feet, Steve. Come on, man.
I don't know.
What, 0 feet?
It shook the house. It shook the house.
Mr. Technical.
Right. It shook the house.
Yeah, well, it was 2 miles wide.
Were you in the bathroom with the doors closed?
We were actually, our safe spot is in a hallway. It's kind of a nook that goes into our bedroom, and it's just a little part of the hallway. So we had blankets and pillows and cushions and Heather and I and the dog. And I mean, when they say it sounds like a freight train, it sounds like a freight train. And then it gets louder and louder, and all of a sudden the house starts shaking. It starts shaking. And you don't know what's going to happen. And then,
but you're right. You're right with God at that point.
You do. You better. You get right. My wife was, my wife was praying out loud. I was praying very loudly in my mind. We're not Pentecostal. We can't both pray at the same time. So.
And you both can't pray out loud.
Right. Right.
Because that's like a church.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like a charismatic church
exactly.
service.
Our dog can't translate. So yes. Interpret.
Oh my goodness, boy! The power of and we're about to enter into tornado season.
Yeah.
So, all right, Steve. What's the first news story you have?
All right, I'd like to talk about the COVID vaccine.
Oh man, let's do it. Huh? COVID vaccine.
COVID vaccine. Dr. Peter McCullough is one of the researchers. He's a heart surgeon, cardiac surgeon, and he's been doing research into this, and he's one of the ones early on that was saying, watch out for these vaccines. They're not tested enough, and there's something wrong, something going on. He's the one that writes about the spike protein and how long it lasts in the body and everything. He was in Australia talking, and I didn't bring any clips. I haven't caught him yet, but I do have what he said. So basically he said that no one knew how long the protein, spike protein, would last. They had tested them out about 3 months, but after 3 months, all bets are off. They had no idea. They know that there's about four major different kinds of illnesses, or diseases that you can get from the vaccine, according to his research. Now,
yeah.
CDC won't cop to this or anything, but, they're a little part of it. The vaccines cause myocarditis, and I think there has been some acknowledgement by the CDC. Now, this is, by the way,
that's inflammation of the around
inflammation
the heart.
Around the heart. I have the numbers here someplace. Okay, if you got the shot, there's different concentrations of this spike protein in different batches of vaccine. So. All of you, he says, all of you took the shot, think about it. Did you have a sore arm? Did you get sick afterwards? If not, you're fine. You don't worry about it. Just under 2/3 who took the shot and they have some minor side effects, but they appear to be okay, you're good. And 4.2% of the people got really sick. He says, watch out. They're going to get in trouble later on. Our CDC VSafe data shows 7.7% of people who get so sick with a shot, they actually have to go to the accident and emergency department, urgent care to be hospitalized. Now, the four different, he says, cancer wards are exploding around the country. And by his logic and research and study, the only thing he says can account for it is the COVID vaccine. The four different, diseases, cancer, myocarditis or heart inflammation, neurologic, like ischemic and and strokes, blood clots. The third blood clots is the third one, and they're worse than they've ever seen in blood clots, like extending the whole length of your leg, for example. And then the fourth major area, the vaccines can tip off autoimmunity issues. So.
Wow.
So Pfizer's not hiring you, Steve, to be their spokesperson.
Oh.
So you give that up.
Shoot, I thought.
Well, Pfizer, Moderna, and listen, there's a lot we know now that we didn't know then. You know, when the vaccines were being pushed, what, in the fall or this November, December, when was it?
Actually, the reason that I brought this in is today is the 4-year anniversary of them declaring a pandemic, the CDC.
Today.
So in 2020, on March 11th, 2020, they declared a
pandemic. You know why? Because it had left China and was
and
going
Italy, I think
and was spreading like wildfire in Italy. Everybody remember this?
Yeah.
From the
videos,
TV? Huh?
Videos.
We were watching videos, and people were dying in Italy. I mean, like dropping like flies. At least that's what we were seeing on the news accounts, right?
As we found out later, those were mostly elderly people dying in Italy.
Yes, there's a lot we did not know, and there's a lot that we if we had known, we would have done better. But let me say this unequivocally. I can say there were people like Dr. Peter McCullough and others who were saying, wait, stop. This isn't right. Something is wrong. And the CDC buried
it. What was wrong? You mean staying what? Stop what now?
Saying that the information coming out of the CDC, they were burying information about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, for example.
You're talking about down the road several months from the time period we're discussing, right?
I'm saying that Peter McCullough and his crew and a bunch of people like him knew well before the CDC ever. They're just now acknowledging some of this stuff, and they were warning about it 3 years ago out of the four. They were warning about it. They said that something's wrong. We're starting to see, anecdotally, we're starting to see things. Then research-wise, we're starting to see things. And to this day, the CDC still hasn't copped to a lot of what they found. So, yes, we didn't know a lot of stuff, and it was new and everything, but a lot of people got kind of the narrative going. The drug companies were making a lot of money. The politicians were trying to use this to, you know, game plan control of the country and everything. And
it is astonishing as we look back. It's astonishing how quickly even corporations bowed to the so-called experts in the federal government, the health experts. My wife and I mentioned the first hour that I was off last week, so we went and did a little grocery shopping together. She's usually the one who does it.
What a vacation trip. that's awesome, man. Y'all did that together?
Yes.
Was it like a full afternoon, or did you go down every aisle?
Can I finish my story, Diane?
Yes.
This is what happens to me all the time at the house.
Okay, I won't do that.
Okay. Anyway, I was telling her as we were walking up, I said, it seems like 100 years ago when we had gone to Walmart. You remember they were only letting a certain number of people in the stores. Mm-hmm. People are standing in line. You had to be 6 feet apart. The aisles had arrows. You could only go one different direction. They were counting how many people were in the store. All that kind of stuff that seems like 100 years ago. But that's just 4 years ago. You're saying it's fourth anniversary.
Yeah, it was a long 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. The RNC has new leadership. Ronna McDaniel has left or was ceremoniously
not Run DMC.
No, Ronna McDaniel.
The RNC.
Romney.
Republican National
RNC,
Committee.
RNC, the Republican National Committee.
Yes.
The head of the Republican. I see now. Yeah, it was the RNC, not the, yeah. RNC and Laura Trump has been hired as, according to this, the co-chair.
How in the world does she get that job?
I don't know.
Who does she know?
I don't know.
I see what you did there. Sounds like she knows somebody.
Yeah, it's like she got an inside track.
I tell you, a lot of people are commenting. It is a sign that Donald Trump is consolidating power within the GOP because, you know, it was just like last weekend that Nikki Haley dropped out.
Right.
And so there's a lot of.
Oh, he's the godfather of the Republican.
Right. Now there's nobody else to rally.
Donald Trump absolutely controls the Republican. He's taken over.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not. They should really rename it MAGA. Because and a lot of people say, well, good.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that he absolutely, credit due for him.
I mean, Ronald Reagan did the same thing.
He did.
When
he did.
Elected.
Yeah.
In 1980.
Donald Trump absolutely, he runs the Republican Party now.
So this is what Laura Trump is saying about the election. She says, we've been playing checkers, and the Democrats have been playing chess. So,
well, whose fault is that?
That would be the Republicans' part, and I'm not
Republicans.
Saying, it might rhyme with Ronna McDaniel, but I don't know. So anyway, Laura Trump is saying we're going to start doing what the Democrats. If this is the way the game is played, we're going to legally, as far as the law allows, we're going to be harvesting ballots.
Good.
We're going to be asking people to file or vote early.
Good.
Right. And all the things.
Good for Laura, because that's what should be done. And we're not talking about doing anything illegally.
No.
This is what it's good for her for mentioning that, especially at the ballot harvesting. I don't even know how to do that exactly, but I do know what it is.
Well, you go around.
I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to, the Democrats have been going into the inner cities in ballot harvesting.
Right.
Ballot harvesting, by the way, folks, is you send in representatives of your political party.
Right.
They go into a particular area. Right. I'm going to explain where the Republicans are going to go. And they find people who ordinarily would not vote. And they say, hey, here's a ballot. I will help you fill it out. And I will take it, throw it in batches, and we'll deliver it. There were comments and questions about whether these people were getting paid with, you know, $5 or gift cards. Republicans are in part going to go into churches, and they're going to say, listen, we will take care of your ballots right here. You can vote early. We'll sign you up same day if it's same day registration, and you can vote, and we'll collect the ballots.
Listen, I don't like it.
I don't either.
I don't like it. I think we need to have voting day, and everybody votes on that day, not voting season.
Right.
But what I say doesn't count anymore.
Right.
Because people, these states are doing this early voting.
I'm with you.
A lot of people.
That was what we all experienced growing up, and it looks like that's gone.
The only reason you should be able to, in my mind, should be able to get an absentee ballot is if you're going to be absent.
Right.
If you're going to be, you're going to say, well, I'm going to be traveling on election day, so I want to go vote early. Or you're a housebound person, and somebody can verify that.
Right.
Where you can't.
Family members, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. That's my thoughts, because it's ripe for fraud.
Yes.
When you have all this mail-in stuff.
It is.
Go ahead.
A lot of conservatives live in the land of should. They can't get past what should be. It should be a one-day voting thing. And they can't get past it and say they fight for that and they fight for that.
I can't.
Well, Democrats, a lot of liberals live in the land of is.
Yeah.
And this is how we're doing it. So Lara Trump appears to be.
Wonderful place it is.
One Republican who's moving from the land of should, where, you know, you just whine about what should be, to the land of is, where we're going to do what's happening. We're going to
in all seriousness, I think that Lara Trump has it right. Not encouraging anybody to do anything illegal, but if the left is going to ballot harvest, then the right should ballot harvest. And also encourage people, if they're not going to be able to, if they want to vote early and you have the opportunity to vote early, and you may think, well, a lot of things can happen on election day. You could have your back go out, or bad weather, or, you know, you have to, your Aunt Susie gets sick, you have to take her to the doctor. I mean, there's a thousand things that can happen to keep you from going to the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, keep you from going to the polls. So if you want to go early, go early. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but I'm going back to the land of should, as Steve put it. But here's the thing. When we used to have an election day, with these minor exceptions for absentee ballots, responsible citizens prepared themselves to vote. They got informed. They went. They cast their ballot. Irresponsible citizens who didn't know what was going on didn't go vote. And that's too bad.
Right.
You don't pay attention.
But it's good for the democracy if ignorant people don't vote.
That's right. And what's happening with ballot harvesting is that a lot of people who probably shouldn't be voting, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Their votes are being cast according to the person who's trying to encourage them. You need to vote. They are campaigning right there on the spot, doing things you can't do at a polling station.
Yeah, I don't know.
Living in the land of should, too.
I know.
I don't know how we get back to election day instead of election season. But anyway, the Republicans should take full advantage of the same things that the Democrats have been doing to gain more votes. For their side. All right, we're going to... Steve, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Nice jacket, by the way.
Thank you.
It's clashing there with
your
shirt. Yeah, but that doesn't...
My wife told me...
Fashion rules don't matter anymore.
My wife told me it fit.
Okay, well, it does fit.
Let's see, who should you side with, your wife or Tim?
I think go with your wife.
Tim's family, though.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.